When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
You are listening to a Pleasure Podcast. For more from our sex podcast collective, visit pleasurepodcasts.com.
My real name's Tyler, but people, my mom calls me Ty, my dad calls me Ty, my friends call me Ty. So I was just
but
like,
you don't
just
spell it that way.
Yeah, I I put a little I on it to make it sexy. Because I was like, I'm an artist, I gotta have a sexy artist name. Like, come on.
It's uncomfortable to talk about sex, but sometimes it's important to get uncomfortable. Sex Talk with My Mom is the best mom-son podcast about sex.
It's the only one as well.
My mother is a cougar.
My son is a clown.
In a nutshell, my dad died, so my mother decided to create a YouTube channel all about sex, like all mothers do.
And then my son decides to use my material in his stand-up comedy routines.
And thus, Sex Talk with My Mom was born.
Recording.
Welcome to Sex Talk with My Mom. I'm Cam Poder.
And I'm Karen Lee Poder.
We are chatting about sex. Typically, we talk just the two of us and we ramble about sex.
Drugs.
Yeah, my burning dick. Except this week, we're doing a little bonus episode just for you. Just sneaky little freak.
Sometimes we find a really cool guest to get on the show, and this is one of those times.
And I am so psyched about this. I'm out of my mind.
His name is Ty Verdes. You might know him because he's blown up on TikTok with his hit song, Stuck in the Middle. And of course, my mother was the one to discover him.
I discovered him in my perusing through TikTok. As you know, as the oldest living millennial, I like to find wonderful new people and skits and funny things to send to my family. And I decided to do a TikTok video using his sound and my weird face. And then I realized this is a catchy tune.
It was a catchy tune, and she sent it to me. I took a listen. I ended up downloading his song, and then my mother was like, he's coming on the podcast.
That's right. I love it when someone like enthusiastically says, yes, here's my phone number. Text or call me. It was unbelievable.
You are the oldest living millennial.
Thank you.
Only you would be, at your age, finding people on TikTok, artists, musicians, and bringing them on the show. This guy now has the fourth most viral sound on TikTok and over 14 million streams on Spotify. He is an overnight sensation, and he's a fucking unbelievable businessman. Even at the age of 24, he's got his eye on the future, and he is fucking about to take over.
I mean, he calls himself the young black Gary Vee during this podcast, and you'll see why. He makes his own path, if you will.
So Rolling Stone just interviewed him. They described him as a 24-year-old, 6'7", singer-songwriter who once hoped to play in the NBA. Then he said, fuck that. The kid's a very charismatic dude. We love chatting with him and hearing his whole perspective on media, sex, authenticity, and his song very much relates to relationships and fuck buddy situations, DTRs. And so we're going to play a little bit of that song and you'll get a sense for who this kid is. Then we'll bring him on the show. How does that sound, Woot?
It sounds fantastic. You sneaky little freaks are in for a treat.
You know what she said to me? She said, you're a player, aren't you? And I bet you got hoes. I said, you don't know me like that. I just go with the flow. She said, you can't fool me like that. You're gonna leave me on red. I said, why don't you try me on out? I know you wanna be friends. But friends turn into sleepovers. Sleepovers turn into love. Love turns into jealousy. And now we both fucked up. Got stuck in the middle of lovers and friends. And we're losing every part of the benefits. You hurt me because I'm doing the same to you.
Ty Verdes, welcome to the show.
Woohoo!
Oh man, this is great. I love it so much. I love it.
So I found you and I just could not get this song out of my head. It's so freaking addicting. It's unbelievable. So how did this happen?
Thank you so much for all the compliments on the song. It's, you know, I wrote that song in like 2 hours. It didn't take that long.
Way.
It's wild.
And your first place to put it was on TikTok?
No. Oh yeah, actually. So what happened was I dropped out of school, came after a year and a half. I went to
what
Babson.
School were you in?
I was at Babson College. It's an entrepreneurship school, right? I was completely disengaged with my creativity, and then I also hated it. That's the other reason. So I left school, came to LA, and then I was like, I need to do everything because I just didn't know what I wanted to do. So I actually went on a reality TV show for 50 days and I won 50 grand.
Wow.
And I lived on 50 grand for my first two years in LA, just trying different things. I was modeling, I was acting, I started my own podcast, I did stand-up comedy, I did all these things. And then all the while, I would still go to like America's Got Talent and The Voice, and I would try out every year for like 3 years. No, didn't get past the first.
So unbelievable. Yeah. You and Cam have very similar trajectories, by the way.
Dope. I love that.
I wish I had won 50 grand on a reality show.
No, but in terms of like going to school with, you know, for a business kind of degree and finding out this is not my creativity. This is not what I want to do.
I grew up in Palos Verdes, which is, I grew up in two places. Nice. Palos Verdes is because that's Ty Verdes. That's where it comes from. And then I also grew up in St. Charles, Illinois, which is like near Chicago.
And by the way, you know we're from Chicago.
That's another reason why. Yeah.
That's the only reason why you came on the podcast?
No. I like the podcast because I was like, I did a podcast with my mom talking about like ridiculous questions and stuff like that. So I was like, this is literally the same thing.
Get the fuck out of here.
Too bad we don't have your mom on the show right now.
Yeah, I did. So I literally, when one of my podcast episodes was like going through like the 50 most would you rathers, 50 most ridiculous would you rathers.
Wow, no way.
Yeah, man, you guys got a soft spot in my heart already.
Oh, damn.
And vice versa.
You co-hosted it with her?
Yeah.
Or it was just...
it was just me and her. Like, we were the two characters on the podcast.
Get the fuck out of here. That is bonkers.
It is crazy.
Whoa, what a small world. And I was on America's Got Talent. That's what she's talking about.
Oh, really? What did you do on America's Got Talent? Did you actually make it past the producers?
Funny that you asked that.
It was a crazy clown.
It definitely couldn't happen. It could not really happen right now because of COVID. It shouldn't have happened back then either, but go ahead, Kim.
It involved spitting into other men's mouths, but it was like a human fountain situation.
Did you get on the show?
Yeah, we got through to like the quarterfinals.
Wow. See, that's how you know. Listen, that's how you know that your talent is better than mine because they didn't even get me past the producer.
No, that's how you know that they don't pick talent.
Yes. That is true. Okay. I want to rewind. You've been doing music your whole life?
Well, like I said, when I was doing those auditions, the only thing that I did my entire life was I played piano for 13 years. And like in my head, I was like, it'd be nice if I could sing too. Cause then like my mom was like, you need to learn piano. One, cause you'll get the ladies. And two, cause it's an instrument and that's great for, you know, the kids. And I was like, ladies, let's do it. I always like tried to sing. And then I did a couple of performances where I did sing and I embarrassed myself, but that's what you got to do to start off. When I came to LA, I was making trash music. Well, not necessarily trash. I think I was better than what a normal person could do. Uh-huh. But I never really worked on it. I would go to these auditions and I'd be like, oh, I'm good enough. I'm creative enough. I have the talent. And I did. And looking back on it, I really wasn't even close to it's not like I came to American Idol with stuck in the middle. I came to American Idol with like something not that good, right? So
you came with an original.
I came with original songs, and now they're kind of going towards original music, but back then it was like not that, and my songs weren't good. I couldn't sing. So what I did was I sang every day for 6 months, probably a little bit longer, for an hour and a half in my car, didn't go into a vocal booth, and I recorded a song called Something to Cry About under the name Tyler Semicolon, because I had a different name. It was called Tyler Semicolon on Spotify. You can still find it. And that song's actually going to be on my EP for anyone who's, because I heard that song driving home and I was like, I need to fucking change my name. That's how good this sounds.
Really?
So, oh, damn.
Yeah. And then the next song I recorded was Stuck in the Middle. And then I just, and then, under a new name, Ty Verdes. And I was like,
holy shit.
And it was a throwaway. I threw it on there because you need a song to have a Spotify page. So I was like, okay, this is the song. I recorded three other songs in that session that I thought were better, and they still are better.
Whoa.
But there's something about this song, like I said before, yeah. the addictive quality, but also what was the, it's about a relationship.
Yes, it's about a relationship. So I was at the time, I was like literally writing about things, like everything in that song. I don't write songs that I haven't experienced. And I think a lot of people that are like newer in songwriting, first of all, if you go through a really hard relationship, you're a better artist no matter what.
Mm-hmm.
And
you second, have to have tragedy in order to be any kind of artist.
Exactly. And that's hard. And then second, I don't write about experiences that I haven't felt personally. Mm. But so I literally took that verbatim things girls have said to me and then put it in a song. So yeah, it was very easy.
It's so real and authentic. Like,
yeah.
And what's amazing, so, I mean, it seems like there is this cycle you found yourself in.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what's so catchy, because the lyrics, it outlines this cycle of your friends, then you start fucking, and then the love feelings start, and then you're like, oh, shit, what is this? And then there's a fucking divorce of some sort, and then you repeat the cycle over and over again. Yeah, is that the right...
Yeah, like it's always you're taking a step and then you're like you're sticking your you're always like you're never 2 feet in, you're sticking 1 foot in and you're like, ah man, do we like this? Do yes. we?
Wait, are you a Pisces too? Like Cam, is this where this
no,
is
going? No, I'm a Sagittarius.
Oh well, that's sticking your foot in your mouth right there. Right?
Yeah.
Wait, so Cam, you're acting like you can relate to this.
No, I can relate to step. I can relate to step one, and I never get to step two usually. Which is, I could be friends, and then I usually get in my head before we can have sleepovers. But you know, this is a very common cycle. I think most people find themselves in. And the reason I stop. The reason I don't get to step two these days is because I've repeated that cycle so many times in my life. So is it something you've been finding yourself in?
Well, I think Stuck in the Middle, well, two things. When I was working at the Verizon store, I was like, songs is it. Being an artist, this is the last destination. I tried everything else. Go to school, get a job, support your family, and we'll be happy. But nowadays, because there are so many other ways to figure out how to, be happy and have a support yourself. Sometimes when those decisions collide, people aren't that happy with that, trajectory if you don't decide not to do such a safe way.
Well, that is what led me to want you on the show.
Yeah.
When I listened to some of the things that you were saying about, you're so humble and, vulnerable with your TikTok videos when you're explaining like I'm about to quit my job right now, you're literally quitting and you're recording a TikTok video and it's amazing though. I mean the vulnerability that you that's what I love about TikTok in general, because you can be yourself. You don't need I used to put out videos and get my hair and makeup done and did it once a week and practice for hours, and I put out a TikTok video without makeup on, which is huge for me because I don't give a shit. And those are the ones that I walk around a pool with a pool noodle calling all cougars. Those are the ones that are getting tens and thousands of views.
Yeah.
And the ones that you work really, really hard for get nothing.
Yeah, exactly. Like I have super produced videos on TikTok. Not super produced, but I'll like tell my friend with a nice camera to come over. And one of those actually did do really well is the one about me quitting. I'm not quitting, but going and doing American Idol. But the thing is, I have that quitting video has a million views on it. You know what I'm saying? Like,
it's bonkers.
I think that the thing about TikTok that's crazy is, one, you literally don't have to try to be, you don't have to try to be viral. If you're just doing something that is authentic, you will go viral because people will identify with it.
Stop and let people absorb what you just said.
Yeah.
Seriously, because that is, I've got goosebumps.
Yeah.
That's what it is. If you're really believing in what you're saying, any you can do anything.
And I think I'd say that there's not a lot of artists that love content creation, but I don't say that I'm in love with content creation. I just am very interested in it. Like, I don't like it when an artist goes on TikTok, and this is what was happening in the beginning before I started doing it, is they'd be like, this is my music, please listen to it.
Yeah.
And that's mm-hmm. and that's an ask, right? You're asking something from the audience, and they're like, well, who the fuck are you, dog? Like, right. I don't even know yeah. you. Like, who's doing that?
Yeah.
When I started telling my story, I've noticed other people started telling their stories.
Oh, they're copycats.
But the thing is, that's what I want people to do. Because, like, if you want a chance for people to listen to your music, it's never about the music. It's about the person. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah. And I fall in love with all the artists that I listen to.
Exactly. But also, mimicry is the most sincere form of flattery. So when yeah. someone's mimicking your style, then you know you're hitting it big.
But also, I think that people can try to be vulnerable, but, you know, I'm pretty vulnerable. So you can try to tell your story, but I'm going to tell it better. I'm going to tell my story better.
I love the confidence. It's unbelievable. 24 years old. I can't believe it.
Yeah. What accounts for the confidence?
Your mother.
My mom in the beginning was like, one, telling me I could do anything all the time. But also, my dad is the guy who was like so successful that I'm like, ah, damn, I have to be there as well, you know?
Oh, damn.
So I was like, there's no other option for me. And I don't know what the chip is on my shoulder or whatever that is, but like, I want to do it my way. Cause I could do it. I could literally, my dad has a car dealership in Washington. I could work there right now if I wanted to, but I would die inside.
Cam did that.
Yeah.
I did work at a car dealership too.
My brother's working at a car dealership right now. He's doing the finance side.
So let me ask you something. When you started getting found on TikTok, that was where you launched, right?
Yeah. So I was getting some kind of traction with the music, because that's how I knew that I was like onto some tiny thing. I didn't realize how overnight it would be.
Yeah, that's what's crazy. What was that like?
Overnight success is an interesting story, because you hear it. You hear the word and you're like, oh, my gosh, that's not a thing. And it's really not overnight. It's probably like over a couple months.
Mm-hmm.
The best part about it is when you're seeing the slow growth of it, you can kind of see exactly what's moving the needle. Like, when I would post a good video on TikTok, people would listen more. When I would stop posting, people would like kind of go stagnant. So I was kind of controlling how it was still going up the entire time. But like, when I posted that quitting video, when I posted the video about like using my sound makes your videos go viral, though, it made the song do better.
You literally like spelled it out. Like, this person did it and they got this amount of views. That was just so interesting.
Yeah, that's a trend on TikTok that happens when the music is usually good and people are identifying with it, because they're making a trend to it or they just like the song. Right now, they're like, I keep up with TikTok probably more than anyone. Like, if you guys think you watch TikTok, I watch TikTok more than anybody.
No. Okay, put it this way. In our age group, you probably have me. If we're all the same, but in my age group, I got anybody over 61 beat.
Probably. You know what? Probably, because I doubt that there's anyone that's 61 that knows who I am right now.
Except for me, who found Except it and said, I have to do this because this guy, it's so cute. And so I made my face look so distorted and it was fun. But I mean, you nailed it.
Yeah, and I didn't think I was nailing it at the time. I literally went down. This is what I did. I went down to my car, and I was like, I fucking lied. I was like, oh, I'm going to put this song out if I get 1,000 likes on this video. But I was going to put it out anyways. Like, you guys are going to get this song.
Yeah, you know? Of course.
I had already submitted it to streaming services. And I was like, hey, guys, should I put this song out? Ask for 1,000 likes. It gets like 80,000. And then I sing another part of the song. And then it gets like 100,000. And then it gets like 120,000, like when I sing the bridge. And then when I actually put it on SoundCloud, it gets like 10,000 streams in the first day. And the same thing happens on Spotify. And then, Spotify goes crazy. It gets to like 2 million streams. They put me on the face of like Fresh and Chill. and then I get a Rolling Stone article, and then like
unbelievable,
goes U.S. viral number one, and then now it's like on the global viral charts in like the top 25 or something like that. So,
but you're so appreciative though. I mean, the thing is, like, it's so sweet to hear you being like authentically like, I don't even understand how this happened.
Yeah, I mean, I am confident in my ability more now, but I was always confident. And I think that you have to have like some sort of confidence in order for this to happen. Like, if you didn't think that you could make, there's very rare cases where you don't think that you can make it and it actually happens.
I notice this especially with musicians. All my musician friends have like, they're oozing confidence in their own music. I'll call my friend. Yeah. I'll be like, what's going on? He's like, I just made this hit. I was like, who the fuck are you? Like, how do you know it's a hit?
That's dangerous. That's dangerous.
Yeah. I feel the same way. When I hit a good TikTok video, I know. If I make a TikTok video, I turn to my boyfriend. I'm like, D's, this is going to be a winner.
Cam, I decided to go down a little rabbit hole on Instagram. One girl tried the intensity twice, and she ended up squirting.
We're delighted to say this episode is brought to you by Pour Moi. They make the intensity. It's an intimate health and stimulation device. It looks like a vibrator.
No, it's much, much more than a vibrator.
I mean, it does vibrate, right?
Oh, yeah. It's a great vibrator, and it looks sort of like the rabbit, you know, with the little clit stimulator.
What's the difference, though?
It has also the ability to strengthen the pelvic floor.
It automatically exercises your Kegel muscles.
Is it Kegel or Kegel?
I don't know, but both of them are getting stronger. And what happens when you strengthen that pelvic floor?
Well, for one thing, for me, I don't pee when I'm jumping up and down.
What else happens that most people experience?
You have a great orgasm.
Stronger pelvic floor.
I can't guarantee that you're going to squirt, but you're going to have a much better orgasm. Because I can tell you, it works.
My friends, if you want an incredible USA-manufactured Kegel exerciser that also gives you a little vibrator, Pour Moi is offering you an additional $25 off of intensity when you go to pourmoi.com and enter code MOM at checkout. PourMoi.com and use promo code MOM to get $25 off on top of any of their ongoing promotions. PourMoi.com, enter code MOM.
So with artists, it's interesting. With TikTok videos, you can kind of tell. If you've had success in the past, you can kind of tell what vein it's going to be in the future. With
what is artists, your audience, though? Who is your audience?
It was interesting. I had like 80% guys, and now it's like 60% girls and 30% guys. Because I asked in a TikTok video, I was like, hey, guys, this song is so cute. Fucking show a girl, and she's going to like you. And then then all the girls were like, this one girl commented, the girls have arrived. And I was like, okay, you can't just say the girls have arrived. And the next day it was like all these girls. Because you know what girls do? They share music. Guys think it's cool to be like, I'm not going to share my music taste with you. I have better music taste with you than you. But girls will be like, get in their group chat and text the song that they found. Guys don't do that. Or less guys do that, I'll say.
Look at my own experience with my family. I am the one who sends out the TikTok videos.
Exactly. Exactly.
Because you're the one who's using TikTok the most out of our family.
By far.
Right.
Literally, I don't even like Instagram anymore. I'm just straight up TikTok.
Forget Facebook. Yep.
I'm so happy you're on just to tell Cam this, okay? I have been telling Cam this. He doesn't listen to me. I'm like, we have to do more TikTok stuff. We got to do like an interactive stuff. If you look at Sex Talk with My Mom's TikTok, which is growing, even though he never wants to post anything on there, it's all me saying, let's do a TikTok video, and him going, no.
Yeah. I mean, like, to be honest, if there's going to be two types of artists, right? And you guys are artists. You're creating art with a TikTok, like, audio art. There's going to be the A team, the people that can do content and the art, and the B team is the people who can only do the art well. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, you can be on the B team, but you know how it feels to be on the B team. It's not as fun. You know?
I think that's a great point. So getting found on TikTok, though, is kind of, this is a very new thing. Relatively.
I mean, getting found on social media platforms for artists has been a thing for a long time. Shawn Mendes started on Vine. Troy Sivan is on YouTube. You know what I'm saying? Like, some of these big names, if you go back to their beginnings, they start. Ed Sheeran when he started, he went on a fucking show that was like one of the first broadcast shows on Facebook.
What about Justin Bieber? Justin
Bieber's YouTube too.
Perfect example.
So I was going to ask you, you know, does it make you concerned that you're not going to be able to repeat this process?
This is the thing. I am so confident that I have so many songs that are good. I go on my live and play the unreleased songs. Cause that's another thing I do, is I'll play the unreleased songs. Like, you know, when we were talking about asking people for something without giving something, I literally give people the whole artist project in my live and be like, do you like this? Then go follow, because I'm showing you all this stuff. I'm giving so much that now if you like it, you can actually go do an action and follow.
Yeah, the least amount of work is just to click a fucking like.
Exactly. But the thing is I'm so confident because I like the music. I don't really care if anybody else likes music, but I know that I have a really good radar for if a song can be, you know, enjoyable, at least to me. If I enjoy the song, I know other people can enjoy it, because I listen to all types of music. I listen to good country music if it has a good emotional storyline in it and stuff. Like, I listen to Shrek the Musical soundtrack. It's on my iPod right now.
Do you listen to Willy Wonka?
Yeah, I mean, like, I can play Willy Wonka on the piano. That was one of the first songs.
You and Cam should do a duet together.
I love Willy Wonka. I'm all about Willy Wonka.
He puts it on his, like, love list. His sex list. Seriously. I wish I was joking.
No, it has come on during sex, and it's not the coolest thing I've ever done.
But your confidence thing and your ability to know your own genre and if it's going to hit. How are you like this at 24 years old? It's just, I'm like listening going, if I close my eyes, I think I'm talking to like a 40-year-old.
I mean, the thing is, like, you have to go through, like, I just went through the hard knock school of life for a long, like, with social media, that's what I did for a long time. Instead of going through school, because this is what happens when you go to school, is that you don't get a lot of real life experience that is applicable. But I just have a lot of real life applicable experience with social media and with life in general.
Would you recommend people drop out of college if they, you know, have a passion for something else, whether it be sports, music, whatever?
I think it's a case by case basis. Yeah. I think that you have to, it's all about knowing yourself. When I got put on academic probation and I was writing my letter to stay in school, it was the fucking stupidest letter. I was like, please let me back in. And I didn't believe a single word of it, you know? Oh. So.
No, it depends on the person is what you're saying. Yeah.
Yeah. If you have something, like, if you're, what's the word? Marginally happy with being in school and being an accountant at the end of it and being like an accountant and you're going to be making like $90,000 a year and you're going to be living in Wisconsin. And
why Wisconsin? Yeah,
I don't, cause I have a friend that's literally in this situation and she literally called me up and she's like, Tyler, I am so bored. And I was like, cause you picked to be an accountant in fucking Indiana. Like, what if you like, I feel like people don't understand when you sign up for college, you're signing up for the decision for a long-term
life.
Your investment is for a long-term life decision that's going to be hard to reverse from that. Like, now you're going to start, like, I had 4 years to figure it out. Now when you finish and you're like 24 and you've had your accounting job for 2 years and you're like, wow, I'm bored. I don't see the up. Now you have to start over from 24, which is not the worst thing. Anyone can start at any time. But it's just like, you have to realize what decision you're making. I think people are saying like, oh, this is what I'm going to do for the rest of my life. You have to really think and be like, what am I going to do? What really makes me happy?
You're 100% accurate. As a matter of fact, I'm going back to when I went to school, which I didn't even have any alternatives like, oh, go into music if that's what your passion is. My dad was like, you're going to find someone to marry and he will take care of you. Just go into some helping profession like occupational therapy. And I'm like, I just want to go down and party because I don't give a shit what I'm doing there. I just want to go to U of I. I don't want to go to any elite school where I'm going to have to work. I just want to party my ass off. So I go to U of I down in Champaign, Illinois. I'm sure you're all aware of it.
Well, one of my friends goes to U of I.
I'm sure you have plenty of friends go down there and party. As a matter of fact, Cam went down there and decided it after like a week that he wasn't going to go to Stanford. He was going to stay at U of I with his friends.
There you go.
But anyway, I go down to U of I. I'm partying my ass off. I'm taking woodworking and basket weaving, things like that, for occupational therapy, even though I did not know what an occupational therapist did. You know, and I find out over the summer, I decided, well, maybe I should take a look at what they do. And I find out you're like making, you know, artificial limbs and things like that. I'm like, I don't want to do this. I don't want to touch people. I mean, exactly. I'm interested in people's minds, but I don't want to touch physically people. I mean, for those who will love to do that, and there are people that love to do physical therapy and occupational therapy, that's great. But for me, it just wasn't for me. So I dropped out. And like you said, then you got wasted like a year and a half of, you know, learning how to make a, you know, a pencil holder out of wood.
Yeah. And I think it's the perspective on like waste, like it's not that you wasted it. It's that you figured it out. You know what I'm saying? And sometimes it takes longer for the others. Every single race is different. You know, and that's what I like to say is like, if your perspective is, oh no, I wasted the time, then it's negative. But if you're like, oh, I needed that experience to figure out where I am right now, then that's a very positive thing.
Well, they say the average person changes careers, and this is from a long time ago, it might be 100% different now, 8 times in their life.
Damn, I probably...
You've already done it.
Yeah, I did that. I did that very fast. And I think that's what everyone should do. I think that like, if you don't know what you want to do, like if I was 18, again, if I could go talk to my 18-year-old self, I would be like, don't you ever let your parents spend a single cent. If you don't know what you do, go to community college. If your parents really want to go and have you get an education, go to community college and go struggle through those classes, get your random degree, then transfer to a 4-year so you save money if they really want you to go to college, and then go do what you want. Because debt is the one thing that's, I have no debt.
That's true. But then that's again, what, you know, if you don't go to college when all the 18-year-olds go, you miss out on the best fucking 4 years of your life.
You do. I think that
socially
that
you miss.
Yeah, yeah. If you have parents that are going to pay for your college, I think everyone should go to college. If you're not going to go in debt, I think debt is one of the most evil things that you can put on yourself as a young kid, because it limits your decisions. And
you're like a young Gary Vee, for crying out loud.
I mean, that's why I got on this show. I was like listening to Gary Vee every single day in the morning, and I was like, I'm drinking the Kool-Aid. When I came to LA, I'm still in a living room right now. Like living
there. Look at
that. And Cam's in a hobbit hole. So, you know, I get it.
Yeah.
What about women?
Women. What about women? Well, the girl that I talked to, that I made the song about, I don't talk to anymore. So that's good.
No, but are the women flocking?
Is she aware that it's about her?
She hates
it. Or about that conversation?
She hates it.
Oh, shit. Yeah, how does that make you feel?
Well, I mean, it's hard to feel sad when your career is going so well. So, you know, like, I do feel sad about it, though.
Wait, what's wrong with it? What is she upset about?
Because, you know, we were in a really, like, it was like a toxic relationship. And I made a song that was like, stuck in the middle of the, and it was not the happiest, like, we were sad in the relationship. And then I made this really happy song about it. And she thinks that that's how I feel about this situation. So,
oh, shit. This is, I have been in this
situation. Right. So here's the thing. I have other music that is more sad that is out. But like the fact that it's this happy ass song that she's like, you think this is a joke? Like that's like literally the epitome of like, you think this is a joke. You think this is a game. And I think it's funny, but I also think it's like a little sad that she can't realize that I actually have other feelings besides this happy go lucky. Oh, we're stuck in the middle. You know,
you might need to write a song about this feeling.
Yeah, exactly.
I have already written the song about this feeling.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
She's going to fucking love
it. No, she's going to hate. No, she's not going to like it.
Mom, is there anything worse than having sex with a condom that dries out and you're not able to get it in?
What, the condom dried out? What are you talking about?
I'm talking about...
It's happened to you, didn't it?
A lubeless condom. It's happened to me. And I have a solution for you.
Uber Lube to save the day.
Uber Lube. It's a latex-compatible lubricant made with body-friendly ingredients, silicone and vitamin E. You know what that vitamin E does, don't you?
What?
That will moisturize your skin.
Uber Lube just seems to encompass all acts of sex.
Oh, here you go.
Vaginal, oral, or anal.
Uber Lube offers the perfect layer between your skin and their skin. Or your skin and your own skin. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah. I know what you're saying.
You know what I'm saying?
I know what you're saying.
So you got to get
that. You're talking about whacking the chicken.
Yeah, I'm talking about whacking that chicken.
Choking the chicken. And it doesn't have any taste or smell.
And yeah, you can clean it up. It spills all over the place. You probably are spilling that shit all over the place. Luckily, you can clean it up by just throwing it in the wash.
What does that mean? You probably
are spilling. I can see you just spilling lube everywhere.
Actually, yes, that does happen. But it doesn't happen with Uber Lube, and I'll tell you why. They have a beautiful glass bottle, and it looks like a little perfume bottle, and it has a measured pour.
So my friends, if you want our favorite lube, the best lube for any type of sex,
mother and son approved,
get 10% off and free shipping at uberlube.com and enter code MOM. uberlube.com and enter code MOM. You'll get 10% off and free shipping, and you'll help support our show. That link is also in our show notes.
A lot of my songs now are just like super honest how I feel. And I think that's how it should be for artists. Like, I hate when I hear an artist talk about like, love is hard and I miss you so much.
That's not specific.
Yeah, it's not specific. I think that the more specific you get in your songwriting, this is a songwriting tip for anybody who wants to be an artist, is like, when I started making songs that I loved is when I started making things more specific, which you think would be alienating to your audience, but it actually makes it so that people can connect with you more, because
people are human.
People are human, but also you're not trying to get everybody to love it. You're trying to get like 10 people who've been through that exact situation to really love it and then show their friends. And then maybe they don't relate to it, but they love the song. You know what I'm saying?
I think this is what makes Taylor Swift the most popular artist right now.
Taylor Swift
does the same thing.
Crazy. Taylor Swift was like, I don't care if you guys medium like me. I'm going to be on the radio for 20 years. That is crazy. It's crazy.
But she writes, I'm not like a big Taylor Swift fan, but she does seem to write about her own experiences, even, you know, at a very young age.
And the fact that you just said, I'm not a big Taylor Swift fan. I don't think I've met a person that's like in my age bracket that's like, I love Taylor Swift, but she's on the radio every single year with a hit. Crazy.
Yeah.
No,
that is bonkers.
I think the Avett brothers, I can honestly say, in case you didn't know who they are, but they're literally, they're songwriters, and they're two brothers that write a diary of their lives. And I think that's what makes them so freaking, like, people are obsessed with them because of that, which is what you're doing too.
Yeah. I just like the story for my whole EP, it's going to be called Must See TV. I don't know if you guys can get that exclusive if you want it. So it's basically like, if you listen,
I'm writing it down.
Okay. it's basically, if you listen from the track, from track one to whatever it is, track nine, it's, if you press play, it'll be like watching my life break down into current day. You know, it's like a reality TV show. That's what I wanted it to be like.
Oh, yeah. Sick.
So it'll be like going from me dropping out of college to me doing some, you know, doing some experimental drugs in LA, to finding a girl, to like being stuck in the middle, to going into toxic relationship. And then the last song is talking about like how you're getting out of a relationship, and then while figuring out your success as a person.
Are you in a relationship right now?
No.
Do you have more hoes at this point?
More hoes.
Maybe you can.
So here's the thing.
I'm quoting his song.
So I, being on reality TV, I was famous before. Like, I was like half famous before, you know? Half baked famous before. Like, but around colleges, I was real famous. Like, people knew who I was. People would like, because that's where people watched the reality TV show, was college girls would watch it. So I know what that's like, and I also know what this is like. They're very different, but it's similar, and I know how to handle myself. So there's always been girls that have been like interested in me, but I also don't really like indulge. Like,
you're not into the groupies?
Yeah, I'm not super into the group. The thing is, it's not the same thing as a real relationship, a groupie relationship, you know? No matter how it starts out, if they know who you are, it's different.
So how are you meeting people now?
I'm like, I don't know what it is. I used to like download and undownload dating apps, so they ban me on it because they think I'm a bot. Also, because I was on reality TV, people would say I was a catfish, so ban me. So I don't go on dating apps like that, because people would, I didn't want to link my socials because I don't really like showing people who I am. I like, because girls, when they see like a big number next to your follower page, they're gonna treat you differently. I never connected my Instagram, so they had no way of verifying, so I keep getting banned on all the sites. So now I just meet them in person.
Oh man.
Yeah,
although right now it's probably hard with the
Now it's very, 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 man.
And then what about those experimental drugs?
I was going to ask that. I was like, well, the only thing that really interested me in that timeline was the experimental drug part.
Well, I mean, when I came to LA, I definitely did some shrooms, did some weed. And yeah, I think everyone should do like at least a tiny bit of shrooms in their life. You know,
why is that?
One, I think that it has the ability to make you think about your entire life. Like we were talking about how people are signing up for this end game of being like an accountant for 50 years. I would take shrooms and I would like think of like, oh, I am like a human floating on a rock doing like, this is, doesn't make sense. Like when you think of the concept of a city that we built as like, we can build cities as human beings. That doesn't make sense. Have you seen a sky? Like who built skyscrapers? That doesn't make sense.
Right.
Yeah. You know?
I heard so there like, can be life like on Venus.
Yeah.
Weird shit like that comes up.
Yeah. And then you feel all, and then you just think about stuff super hard. And yeah, I'm just super open about it because I want other people who have like done it not to feel bad about it, you know? So
that's exactly why we were asking. At least I know that's why I'm thinking it. I mean, because people don't talk, my age group doesn't like to tell their stories about when they did drugs, but I like to, because even if I had bad experiences, which I've had, like on acid, I would like to talk about that and let people know what it was like for me and how I got kind of like peer pressured into it. And if you don't talk about it, then it adds this mystery. And that's like what our podcast is against, like shaming people and people keeping people in the dark.
Exactly. I've done acid one time, so I don't have a lot of experience, but I've done shrooms a couple of times, and then I just do weed. No other hard drugs.
Have you had that talk with your parents about, have you told them that you tried shrooms or whatever you did?
I don't want to. Yeah, my mom has experienced, you know, some stuff too. I think both my parents have experienced some stuff, and I think that I think that having an open dialogue, because the thing is, like, wine is a drug, you know, like
coffee's a drug.
Coffee is a drug. Food is a drug. Like everyone's doing drugs in some sort of way.
So how did they feel about this song?
I didn't tell my dad about it at all. Because what I wanted to do was sign like a huge record deal and then be like,
surprise.
Yeah, surprise. But then my brother I think my dad found it somewhere because it was getting so big.
Oh damn.
Yeah.
I love when I asked you to come on the show and I said, do you have any questions? You're like, no, I like surprises.
Yeah.
I've never gotten that before. We've asked that, I don't know how many hundreds of thousands of people, I don't know, thousands, but hundreds of people that come on the show. No one said, oh, I like surprises. I don't want to, I have no questions for you.
Cause I'm ready. Like people, gosh, I wish people were more open. Like my favorite podcast is Joe Rogan Podcast. Because that's one of the only places that there's no PR person. Like there's a reason why only certain people go on. Cause like PR people, usually when interviews happen like this, they're like on the side saying like, no, you can't say that. No, you can't say this. Like,
yeah.
Like that. It's one of the only places where you get the real, that's why people get fans when they go on that show or lose fans because they show who they really are, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. This is the same with the Howard Stern show. Although that was kind of like pushed out of people naturally offered. So what was your dad's response when he saw that your song was popping off?
He was like, good job, love the song. You got a lawyer? And I was like, yeah, I got a lawyer. And then we were like, peace, dope.
That is exactly the response. I asked Kendra Lust, the porn star, what her dad said when he found out she was going into porn. He just goes, you got a good accountant?
Yeah, well, those porn stars, like OnlyFans, porn stars, they make some money, dog. That's the epitome of diving. Like, I sometimes look at porn stars and I'm just like, you guys have it figured out so hard and you're so authentically yourself that it's really just imposing on other people. That's how authentically they have it. I've talked to some porn stars.
That's why I love porn stars.
That's why I love porn stars.
I do. Yeah, one of my best friends is one. An iconic one. I love porn stars because they're like, no bullshit. They're going to tell you how it is. It's going to be a great, intimate, funny conversation. And there's no no bullshit and talking about your grandchildren and everything else. You're going to get straight, honest, hearted, lighthearted, funny, and real experiences.
That's awesome.
I am amazed that you're, so not only is this mindset, I think, a very mature one and a fearless one, but it's amazing that you're able to infuse this into your song. You get like, on TikTok, you literally get 15 seconds to share this song, maybe a little longer.
You get a minute. I do a minute.
A minute. So
the one I did with you was, I only did 15 seconds, I think.
Oh, dope. That's awesome.
No, 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 no.
In one fucking minute, you're able to convey this exact mindset. It's unbelievable.
I think it's practice. I think that I've tried, and it's my desire to. Some people don't know what their desire is when they're making art. They don't want to be authentically themselves, or they have this persona that they're putting on that they're trying to convey, which is hard. It's a little bit taxing when you're not being truly yourself unless you love it, right? Like, I think Lady Gaga is like that a little bit, where she had this like huge persona, but then like one of her biggest hits is like Shallow, where she's just being herself singing a song, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So it's taxing being like putting on a character, and even though Ty Verdes is a name I made up, it's kind of like more me, because it's like, this is the artist that I thought I was going to be, you know?
It's a cool, call me, it's a cool name too, by the way.
Like, my real name's Tyler, but people, my mom calls me Ty, my dad calls me Ty, my friends call me Ty. So I was just
but
like,
you don't spell it that way.
Yeah, I I put a little I on it to make it sexy. Because I was like, I'm an artist, I gotta have a sexy artist name. Like, come on.
I like it.
Hell yeah. Yeah, man. How did that become your main motivator to get that authenticity out?
Because nothing else. I don't think anything else works. Nothing else works. Either you do something that is completely left, like I said, like Lady Gaga or some of these rappers who are wearing gold chains and shit like that, and you talk about cool shit or extravagant shit that people have not experienced but they want to experience, or you talk about your own experience.
That's exactly it. And you know what? I think that you can mix it up on TikTok more than any other platform. Because like, I've done things like, I just recently did a Filipino dance, which I found out later on. I didn't realize this. It was a vagina. It meant a vagina. I didn't know. How was I supposed to know this? Until I talked to a Filipino woman. She's like, you know, it means vagina. I'm like, but it was so fun just doing that dance. And I just like, sometimes you're in a bad mood and you're like, you know what? I'm going to do a TikTok dance. I'm going to scroll through a bunch of that stuff and find something that I can just like either lip sync. You can sing a song, like you sound great because you're lip syncing someone else's song.
Yeah, exactly.
You can do it with people throughout the whole entire world. And it's in 15 seconds, you can immediately get a huge, huge spike of followers and likers, or you get nothing, or it's like falls flat on your ass, but it doesn't matter because you can just do another TikTok.
That's the mentality that you got to have, is like, I think a lot of people get burnt out because maybe they get 7 TikToks in a row that get 100 views. But like, if you keep going, TikTok is the epitome of like marathon. It is a marathon. Instagram is like very directly correlated to your, what kind of platform you already had in the past that people have, you know, connected with. But with TikTok, you can literally create this platform every single day if you want to. And I love that about, like, there will never, at least right now, I don't think, unless there's like a VR space that we go into, there's never going to be another algorithm like TikTok that is so easily accessible for people to start a career in, you know?
Cam, yeah, have I not been telling you this?
Yeah, I mean, those guys that I was...
The fountains.
Spitting into each other's mouths with, did the same marathon on TikTok, and now they have 500,000... I think they're almost up to like 1 million followers.
And
it's fucking crazy.
You know what they could probably do? And this is how I think, right? Everybody that I talk to, I think about how they could monetize what they love. And maybe you love spitting into someone's mouth. That is the craziest thing ever. But you could make a shirt of a guy spitting into another guy's mouth.
Oh, they
you have could it. Make a you could make a podcast about what it's like to like train for that audition experience. You could make content around, you could make YouTube content. You could go on the streets and ask people questions. Like, there's so many ways to monetize everything.
Are you sure you're not related to Gary Vee?
No, I mean, I might be his black little brother. That's what I mean. Not so little. I'm pretty.
It is. I love that it's also like, music seems very important to you. Mm-hmm. But it's really the value system underneath it. It's You're almost right, like Kim. that could have gone into a lot of different directions.
You could write poetry and you would be a hit. I mean, you're great at music. Don't get me wrong. You had a really nice voice, and the structure of the song is incredible to me. But it's that authenticity that keeps coming out that makes it so special.
Yeah, and I think I kind of like backed into that one. You know what happened? But the girl that I was dating at the time, I had a song. It was called "Face of the Crowd," and it was very inauthentic. It was not my proudest moment, just because I listened to the song and I didn't enjoy listening to it.
Oh.
And that's like my biggest red flag. It's like how I know a song is ready is if I can listen to the whole thing without cringing. I'm never like, and then I know it's good if I can like vibe out to it. But I was cringing the entire time I made that song, and I think that the reason why I didn't like it is because the value system wasn't like, I just can't do it. I literally can't fake it. I can't fake it. I can talk about faking it and put it in a song, but I can't fake it for real.
It's like faking an orgasm for crying out loud. You don't do it.
Yeah. I mean, the thing is like, I wish I could. That's the thing I love about SoundCloud rappers is they rap about having money until they get it. You know, like
that is hilarious.
All you have to do is do it creatively and then you'll figure it out. Or you have to just jump 2 feet in, get a face tattoo. That's another thing. People with face tattoos, porn stars, face tattoo people, probably have great conversations together because they're probably just looking at each other like, yeah, we did this shit. We are authentically ourselves.
Yeah. So right.
So we do have one other question we want to ask you, and that is, and we ask all our guests this, have you ever walked in on a parent having sex or vice versa?
Never. I mean, I don't think I have. I'm so blessed. I'm so lucky. I might be the luckiest person in the world.
That you've never experienced that?
Never experienced that. I always had a room that I also didn't bring girls over to my parents' house. I maybe did it like one time. I was very distanced my dating life and my parents.
You kept the boundary.
I went
up
to college. Yeah. Until recently, now they see girls that I've. But then also, I live in downtown LA, so it's different. But I did have sex. This is another reason why I like sex talk with my mom. When I was younger, she made me read a book called What's Going On Down There. And I thought that was hilarious. And I just...
everything you're
looking for. It's a great title.
Everything
what's
you're
going on down there?
Yeah, yeah. What's going on down there?
You got
there,
all
right?
Your moves from that book.
I got some moves from... I mean, I got my knowledge from that book. It talks about like what happens to you when you're growing up. I think I read it when I was like 12 and my mom was like, we need to read this book.
But it's interesting you didn't read it with your dad. You read it with your mom.
Yeah. I didn't even think about it like that. But yeah, I think my dad was like, just figure it out.
Learn on the streets.
I think that's pretty common that one parent takes control and.
Yeah.
You know,
so like,
yeah.
Like when Cam
department.
Came in and asked me about sex when he was probably younger than that though, and my husband just turned over and pretended like he was sleeping. So he said, give me the opportunity to educate him.
There you go. I mean, maybe you were maybe that's how it was meant to be. You probably did a really good job. You're talking about sex every day with him now.
Mm-hmm.
Still going on,
still
man.
Still going on.
I'm still experiencing that fucking sex talk.
400 episodes later.
This has been such a fun interview. I want to thank you
thank
for coming
you
on.
Thank you so much. This has been great.
Oh, no problem.
How do people find your song and what can they expect in the future?
Well, I have a whole EP, but I have a couple singles coming out for the Ty Verde's project, which is going to be awesome. So I have... single coming up, probably, I don't know. Guys, this is hard. Stuck in the Middle is growing every single day. And I want to put out more music, but I don't want to distract from Stuck in the Middle. So I have, I'm putting a date on, and this is me being completely honest. Some artists will be like, oh, this is the date, and then they'll lie about it. But I'm actually telling, like, I don't really know. But we're aiming for, like, October 30th around there for the next single. Because we still think Stuck in the Middle's got so much more to go. I think it could really get on Billboard. Like, that was the whole goal in the beginning. I said I wanted to be on Billboard, so let's do it.
I 100% am convinced this thing is going to go to number one.
It's so fucking catchy.
It's like some songs you hear and you're like, oh, I heard, and then whatever. This one, it's like I got on Zoom with Cam this morning getting ready for this interview, and I hear it playing in the background. And I'm like, turn it up.
It's awesome.
Oh, man. But then I have an EP and then Ty Verdes just going on all my socials. It's Ty Verdes. But thank you for the compliment on the song. I really think it has some, legs on it.
It's
so.
Your golden goose.
It's my golden goose. I love that. I love that.
Well, thank you so much for coming on. You're a blast to talk to, and your stuff is awesome.
Maybe would you like to stick around to see what you make. Do a little Patreon bonus?
Do it. I don't know what that means, but I'll do whatever Patreon thing that you need to do.
Thank you to all our sneaky freaks for tuning in.
Sneaky freaks
join
are
us
our
for
fans.
A little Patreon bonus episode at patreon.com/sextalkwithmymom.
Sneaky freaks.
Oh, fuck
freaks.
Yeah. Yeah, dude.
Ty, what? You are now official member of the Sneaky Freak family.
Sneaky freak. Okay, this is mine. Ready? Some fucking dude made it up in my live. Mine is the Tide Pods, right? Crazy.
Oh, man.
The Tide Pods.
I keep thinking about the Tide Pods that people were swallowing.
That's why it's hilarious.
I love it. If I was able to realize the connection, it's a winner.
Yeah.
I cannot believe that you were able to realize that connection before I was. You live in this TikTok universe,
Mom. Damn, Cam, she's showing you out.
She got me so quickly. Unreal. That's awesome.
99% of the time, Cam gets me. Okay, believe me, it's very rare that I'm going to catch on before him. Anyway, stay tuned.
We'll see you at patreon.com/sextalkwithmymom. Yeah. Thank you very much for listening to all those who left reviews. We love you to the moon. If you want to help us out, go to ratethispodcast.com/mom and help us. Leave a rating and a review.
And it better be a good
one. Read it on our show.
We got a golden goose.
And Ty, we'll talk to you soon.
Bye-bye.
Dope. All right.
Thanks, guys. Bye. Let's fight, turning and making up. And making up turns into love. Turns into love. Turns into forever. And that scares both of us. Cause we're stuck in the middle of lovers and friends. And we're losing every part of our benefits. You can hurt me more than I ever knew. But it's shitty cause I'm doing the same to you. Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky? Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess? Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually. Do I have to say? Yes, you do. In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting. Really? Yes. Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky? I never win and tell. Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.